Good Sunday morning, 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. I'm Jerry Evans. I'm sitting in, filling in for Henry Evans and Dave Cantilano. Henry ate tag soup on his cow elk hunt, and Dave and Henry were out chasing bulls with a bow in Dave's unit. That hunt started August 25th. They put a week into it, came back into town to get restored, and we'll be heading out again soon. So, fill-in host Jerry Evans today. I have with me today the CEO of a company, Basemap, which we'll tell you about if you're not familiar with it. Everybody's familiar with Onyx. Basemap is a fairly new competitor, and I'll put my two cents in on that. I like it a lot better. The CEO of Basemap will join us next. First, a sponsor of Nevada Backcountry and a good friend. We talk shotguns, hunting, and the Gen 2, the super light Gen 2 from Legacy Sports with Andy a bit earlier this week. Andy McCormick is the president and CEO of Legacy Sports International in Reno and a sponsor of Nevada Backcountry. Andy, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Jerry. Good to hear from you as usual.
First and foremost, did you get out for the dove opener?
I did get out for the dove opener. It was wonderful to get the dog out and be out there at crack of dawn to wait and not see any birds first go around. But as the heat increased throughout the day, the bird shooting got better, and we ended up scratching a limit, but we had to work for it. But the dog was just fired up hearing chucker and quail all over the place where we were hunting. Everywhere we went seemed to hear and see chucker and quail. So I'm excited about the upcoming other bird seasons as well.
Andy is also a very avid turkey hunter and has been going to the 410 for turkey. What'd you use on the dove opener?
On the dove opener, I shot our new semi-auto pointer that is an FT-12 that is a nice fitting shotgun in a variety of offerings. The one I was shooting was actually camo Cerakoted. It has a nice rubber grip on the forend. It's got a rotating bolt head on it like an inertia gun, but has a little bit less jump than a normal gas gun, but cycles and shoots really nice. Comes with a great choke, so I was able to put it to good work in the field and look forward to doing it again further down the road here.
What's new in the Legacy lineup for shotguns this year?
Well, it's all Pointer and Citadel that we offer, and we offer a lot of field guns that we offer are over-unders, which are extremely popular for us, in a standard model that's got a silver receiver on it, wood finish, five chokes, and all sub-gauges, which are extremely popular. The last couple of years, we sell an enormous amount of 20, 28, and 410 over-unders, and then we also offer that same gun in a case color heat-treated model, too, for a minimal extra cost. It's really a gorgeous-looking gun, also in the sub-gauges. And we sell youth over-unders extremely well. You don't find that easily out there on the market for kids in a 20-gauge and a 410 and a 26-inch barrel.
I think Henry picked up one of those for Madeline, his daughter.
Could be, yeah. Like I said, those are some of the ones I've run out of stock this time of year very quickly, and then also into the holiday season in the 20-gauge and the 410. But everybody seems to be moving towards sub-gauge categories. I think we sell just as much 20-gauge as we do 12-gauge across the board every year now. And this is one of the good years where we've been well stocked to feed the demand. I've got orders going all the way into 2027 right now with big accounts, planning, production allocation, etc. So it's been really good. Hit a good niche on the offering. So excited about where it's going to go down the road.
And of course, you can go look for those guns that Andy's talking about at any of the local sporting goods stores.
I would say any of the gun shops locally, and even if that falls short, if you can't find what you're looking for in gauge or model, there's always the internet from Gun Broker to Gallery of Guns, guns.com, they've all got it.
And if you want to check them out in advance, legacysportsinternational.com.
That's right. The website's always a good source for information as well.
Again, Andy McCormick, president of Legacy Sports International on Nevada Backcountry. I'm not aware of a gun that has gotten as much publicity than the Super Light that came out just a couple of years ago, but you've decided to do something different with it, something new. Was there research, or what was the reasoning behind offering the Super Light with the HS Precision stock?
It was something that we felt just brought more value to the gun, street credit-wise, because of HS Precision's great reputation in the product they already put on the market. And we've worked with them for numerous amount of years together on projects. And so when we met with them last year at the SHOT Show, we showed them our Super Light rifle, and they said, we can do a better version of that for you if you'd like. And so we had them work on samples and stuff like that. And it added just a couple more ounces, but it also added aluminum bedding, just a more structurally sound product that mated together with our reduced super light barreled action. So then next thing you know, we have a Gen 2 model that comes out still sub 5 pounds, sub MOA, and practically you're going to find it on sale most times, like, you know, $9.99 at your local gun shop, which is unheard of for a gun that will produce sub MOA under 5 pounds.
I decided to switch to that and also decided to go ahead and at the same time switch to a new scope. I have not gotten out to shoot mine yet. You've shot smaller groups with a new stock?
Yes, we have. It just beds better. Fits better. And like I said, the rigidity of it is better. It just seems to shoot better. I mean, we're shooting sub-MOA groups with everything we put through it. I know the 308 model likes the 165 grain. I'm shooting the 143 grain in the 6.5 Creed. The 7M08 likes the 139, 140 grain. Just shooting phenomenal. You know, there's the two barrel options that you have, a 20-inch barrel option that's threaded or a 16.25-inch model that's threaded that is perfect for suppressor use.
Yeah.
On a short tube, so which I'll be shooting for coos deer in December with Randy down in Arizona. But I was able to put my 6.5 Superlight Gen 2 to work earlier the year over in California on blacktails, and it just performed flawless.
And
flawless.
Randy Newberg is who Andy was referring to. Randy has taken everything from elk to caribou. Did he do a moose with a Superlight as well?
He did in the 308, and the guides were kind of making fun of him until he put one down with a 308, and they all looked at him like, yeah, we need two of those.
Yeah, and Andy, you'll be hunting with Randy down in Arizona. Is that going to be filmed for his TV show?
Yeah, we've got a film crew with us, and there's another film crew with two other guys that are going on the trip. It'll be early December, so I'm excited because coos deer's always been on my bucket list. I've seen some great coos deer in my life, but never had a tag in my pocket when I was hunting something else. So I'm really excited not only to get to hunt with Randy after sponsoring for 16 years, but, you know, actually going after something I really look forward to chasing down there in southern Arizona.
And I'll be using that same combo as you, the new Superlight with the HS Precision stock, which is new to me. I switched over to that on a elk hunt coming up in early October in Utah. If it doesn't work, it's all the gun, right? Not the shooter?
Well, I've seen some of the results of your shooting, Jerry, so I'm pretty confident you'll do well.
Well, a Howa 1500 the last 2 years in a row, 6.5 PRC moose. First year, it took 3 shots, and last year, just 1 shot, 6.5 in the Howa 1500. So we'll put that same thing you're using to the test on elk in Utah coming up in October. What are some of the other new or newer things that you guys are offering right now?
Well, the big thing, the hottest ticket we're selling these days and can't keep up with is the 22 ARC in our mini action. That has been just phenomenal since we first took delivery of the first batch, that we just haven't been able to keep up. I think we're back ordered over 5,000 units right now. We've shipped almost 3,500 units since we first got them, and as soon as they come in, they're gone. And it's guys love them for coyote shooting. They love it for some of the long range stuff. It just fits a lot of guys that have gas guns in the same cartridge, like to shoot it in a mini action compact rifle, the same ammo they put through their AR in the platform. So that's probably the hottest ticket. And we still sell a ton of 6-arc in the Mini-Ax too. And then, of course, still the two top calibers that are selling these days, hands down, are 6.5 Creedmoor and 308 still. But there's still the PRC stuff that we move through in both 7mm PRC, 6.5 PRC, and the 300 PRC. All those are still, you know, moving through the inventory very well.
You guys always seem to be the outlier, because I just saw the background checks from August of 24 versus August of 25, and they're down about almost 20%, but every time I talk to you, you guys can hardly keep up with demand.
Well, I can tell you, here's a phenomenal number for you that was, I had to run it 3 times to make sure it was correct. You know, sales order entry for us, fiscal year, July 1, is up 86%.
Hold on. Here are the exact figures. Unadjusted August 2025 FBI NICS figure, $1,743,509. That reflects a 19.4% decrease from the unadjusted FBI NICS figure of $2,163,540 in August of 2024. Now, of course, 2024 was a election year. It always has an effect on gun sales. Legacy up 86%. That's incredible.
Yeah, and a lot of our competition I keep hearing is down 25-30% in the firearms industry. But as far as we're going, like I said, I'm booking taking orders all the way into 2027 for production allocation on a lot of things. So we're gaining ground in a lot of areas, and it's just a matter of trying to keep up, deal with tariffs and how all that affects everything, what you can absorb, what you can't absorb, how you can finagle shipping rates and costs to try and offset some of the costs so you don't have to pass it on to consumers. That's the goal, to do as much of that as you can. It's a daily battle.
Congrats on that, and also congrats on the Coos Deer tag. I'm sure it'll be fun. And Randy Newberg, what's his hunting show, Andy? I always forget the title of it.
Well, he's got a variety of shows that he does. He's got stuff on YouTube. He's got his podcast and all those programs, and works tight with the Elk Foundation as well. Randy is On Your Own Adventures and Fresh Track are the two big shows that he puts out there. And then there's Hunt Talk Radio as well.
Yeah, Fresh Tracks is what I was trying to think of. Tried to track him down, but he's out in the field. Do you think he's hunting in Nevada, right?
I think he's deer hunting in Nevada right now. Archery tag, I believe he's got. He's in the field. When you can't get a hold of Randy, he's in the field. The man is an animal, nonstop. Nonstop. Just like you.
Yeah, hunts for a living. I'd switch roles with him for a season or two. The business aspect of it could wear a little thin on me.
I don't travel and hunt as much as I used to. You know, 10 years ago, I was all over the place, nonstop. But now I'm a weekend warrior, and I found a lot of good, quick hunts that you can do here within, you know, a 10-hour radius of Reno or closer, and be it bird hunting, big game hunting, hunting California side, Nevada side. You take advantage of it when you can.
Andy McCormick, president of Legacy Sports International. Before I let you go, if somebody already has the Gen 1 of the Superlight and they want to switch over to the HS Precision Stock, what's the best way to go about doing that?
Well, they can always call into here direct. You know, a stock, we can utilize that, no problem. No waiting period on the stock itself if somebody wants to switch it out. That's no issue. But they could call us here at 775-828-0555.
828-0555. If you want to get a new stock, if you have one of the Gen 1 Superlight, put the H&S Precision Stock on the Gen 2, and I think you'll be happy. In Nevada, because of the cyber attack, guns cannot be legally sold or transferred to Nevadans without a concealed carry permit. Right now, because of the state's cyber attack, unless you've got a conceal and carry, you cannot buy a gun in Nevada right now. Coming up next, we'll talk technology, as in a hunting app for your phone. It's Nevada Backcountry. Jerry Evans for Dave Cantilato and Henry Evans. Dave is going to be a guest on his own show here in just a bit. I want to mention the sponsors, Legacy Sports International, Andy McCormick, a guest on this weekend show, and Battleborn Tree Service. Mike is going to be coming up with a new recipe for antelope tag soup, but he'll also be chasing elk here in just a couple of weeks up in Oregon. Battleborn Tree Service is a sponsor of Nevada Backcountry. Thank you very much. When we were on Henry's hunt a couple of weeks ago, his cow elk hunt in northeast Nevada, I was showing Dave Basemap. It's a app that I became aware of when I bought a pair of Sig Sauer 10K binos, their bino rangefinder combination, during a long-range shooting class with another one of our sponsors, and that would be Jim Irwin, Precision Shooting Academy. So there, I got in another tag for a sponsor. With the Sig Sauer came a BDX app, as well as Basemap, a free version of Basemap. And I have been using it, the free version, for practically a year, maybe a little over a year. I was showing it to Dave, who was really impressed by the image quality of Basemap. I just recently upgraded to the subscription service, the mid-grade, which is really good. One thing that it offers that Onyx doesn't, and we'll do a lot of comparison with Onyx with our guest coming up in just a moment, and that is that you get the additional free global rescue package with the upgraded subscriptions. If you're out and about in the middle of nowhere, you get injured, and you need to be moved to a hospital, Global Rescue provides that type of service. I've been familiar with them for 15 years or more, back in the old SCI days. Let me bring on the CEO of Basemap. And we'll talk about Basemap and do a A-B comparison, Onyx to Basemap. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Hey, morning, Jerry. I'm doing good. Thanks. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, thank you. And welcome to Nevada Backcountry. Give us a history of Basemap.
Yeah, sure. The company was founded by a fellow named Jeff Bulch, who is he works on all of our product design and a lot of our testing and UX today. And he founded it back in, I want to say like 2014 is when he really started playing around with the idea of, you know, getting digital maps on phones. And he's got a great background. Jeff was actually working out in the oil field, pumping oil out of the shale. And he's originally from Northern Idaho up in the panhandle there. And as he met people and, you know, was talking to folks, they're all interested in coming out west and hunting and going to Idaho. And so he was trying to share information with them about units and how to read topographical maps and, you know, understand like elk behavior. And he just really got, you know, the bug to try to build a mapping system. And he has kind of a design background. So, you know, he put some of his own money in and built a prototype. And around like 2017, met some investors who, you know, like Jeff, loved the idea of Basemap, and, you know, from there, started building an app around it. So fast forward to today, and, you know, I think, like you said, everybody knows Onyx in the space. They're obviously the competitor that we're all trying to go up against and catch up to. And I think, you know, Basemap is exceptionally competitive against Onyx. Like you said, we have crystal clear imagery, which is what a lot of our users like about Basemap. And the other thing is it is simple to use. And I too was a longtime Onyx user, and then learned about Basemap and I was like, wow, this is just easy to use. So you got clear imagery and an easy to use app, and, you know, I was kind of sold. So that's a little bit of the background and how we got started.
And that's what sold me on it. Simple to use for simple mind, as well as just the imagery is so crystal clear compared to Onyx, and the frustration of the time it takes for maps to download to get a clear image with the offline maps with Onyx. So I would go back and forth just a couple of weeks ago out on a cow elk hunt with Henry Evans, the normal host of this radio program, and I would go back and forth between Onyx and Basemap, and with Basemap, they come up really fast and clear. And I'll repeat, the simpler the better for me, but some may be interested, do you have 2D mapping, 3D mapping, Android, Apple?
It depends on your version. So iOS app, we do have a 3D version, and we'll have, for folks who like to kind of do their hunt planning on a laptop or their desktop computer, we'll have 3D rolling out probably in the next week or two. So if you've used like Google Earth to do any 3D mapping, that's effectively the experience you're going to have. But we don't have it on Android yet today.
Okay, and you can overlay multiple layers on the map. Again, most important for me is public versus private land boundaries, terrain. That's all in Basemap as well.
Yeah, you have all of your layers, your unit boundaries for whatever species you're hunting. Like you said, you know, we have a topo layer, satellite imagery layer, kind of a hybrid where you can see topographical lines with satellite. So public-private land layers, any sort of state access programs. That's always a big one. You know, folks looking to find some additional little pockets or honey holes that might be out there. We have those layers as well.
How many different layers can you put on it? For me, just give me hunting zones and give me private public land as well as trails. And I think those are the basics for me. We'll get to waypoints in a moment, but those are the three basic for me.
Yeah. And those are certainly the layers that our users use the most. So we have, we have hundreds of layers, but a lot of them are state-specific layers. So at the end of the day, like you said, your major layers, your private public land, your motorized use trails, your hiking trails, trailheads, you know, actual features like that about, you know, where parking spots, all of that, map layers that you can turn on and access. So, and if you want to turn them off, you can turn them off. We've got a really, one of the things that I think is kind of cool about Basemap is the favorite layer. So one of the things things that gets difficult about any of the map apps is, like you said, there's so many layers, right? Once you find the layers, how do you easily get back to them? For inside base map, you just favorite it and then have a tab where, hey, I know the layers that I like to have on. I don't need to go back to the big menu that's got, you know, everything. Let me just go back to my favorites and I can turn the layers on and off from there. So
yeah,
that's a really cool feature that we've got.
A couple of weeks ago on the show, Dave and Henry were talking about being able to share information when, say, one is on this side of the mountain, another one's on another ridge over there, or maybe even more than just two people communicating, is a feature that comes in handy, especially with regulations on two-way radios in some states.
Yeah, so you can share waypoints with other users. It's as easy as just clicking a share button when you tap a waypoint, and then you can just send, you know, basically a text message to another user. And when they tap on that text message, it's going to open the base map app and drop that waypoint in their app. So very easy from that standpoint to share. And then talking about that SIG collaboration that you initially were exposed to base map through, you know, that's another really cool feature where you can drop a waypoint where if you have a Bluetooth connected rangefinder, you can actually range an object with your rangefinder, click the range button, and it will drop a marker inside of your base map app.
And that's a feature that I wasn't aware of that I will certainly be taking advantage of in the next couple of months as we get out and chase elk. One for Dave and one for me. Matt Habegger, CEO of Basemap. He'll be back with us right after Fox News, your local weather, and a break. Here we go again, Jerry Evans for Dave Cantilano and Henry Evans, who are taking a break. They've been chasing elk hard and are going to get back at it real soon. I know Henry mentioned this, but we were out hunting for Henry's elk, and about three quarters of the way up the mountain, a guy comes riding up on a quad. Turns out he was a school teacher from Benicia, California, I think it was. And the reason why he was hunting in Nevada, he was inspired to hunt in Nevada because he listened to Nevada Backcountry, and he was so excited to meet Henry and Dave on the mountain. That's the reach of radio, and frankly, this great radio station, 99.1, as well as KSVL 92.3 in Lyon County. And don't forget, you can always get the podcast of this show. This show will be posted as well later today. So get the podcast, and Dave will be joining us for the last segment. Right now, let's get back to Matt Habegger, the CEO of Basemap, who just told me about a great feature that I can picture using this here in the next week to 10 days.
So,
oh, that's pretty cool. I haven't used that yet.
Rangefinder sends data to the app and then drops it there. And that has a lot of really, you know, cool application, not just in the hunting space, but, you know, we have people who for search and rescue and things like that. They're using that technology to be able to make a recording of where the objects are that they're ranging.
So I could have used this in this way just a couple of weeks ago when I was hunting with Henry and Dave and I were on this mountain looking across at these ridges where Henry and my other son Will were looking for elk there. Assuming he had the app as well, I could have ranged elk, dropped a pin, and that would be available to Henry on his app. So you can communicate and locate animals, which is illegal in a lot of states, Nevada included, to locate game on and communicate that information on two-way radios.
Yep. Huh? And you know how when you move around, right? Like you move 50 yards to the left or the right, and suddenly the landscape changes. You just lose that vantage point. You're like, which piece of sagebrush was it? Or you just don't quite know. And even like I'm in Arkansas, and so I'm hunting in timber most of the time. I use it for, like, last year I shot a buck, you know, took off running. I ranged the last spot that I saw him before I lost, you know, lost sight of them. So great. Now I know exactly from my current vantage point where that last spot was. So I can walk over there, check for blood. And now if I don't find any, I start walking around. It's not like, okay, where exactly was I initially when I shot or where I last saw him? Now you've got this reference point in your app to be able to get right back to that spot.
Yeah, and pick up the trail, hopefully. So you can range a tree or a rock or a bush and then get back there the next day and start from that point. That's a great feature. But you mentioned sagebrush. It sounds like you're somewhat familiar with Nevada. Pretty sparse country and not always cell service. So the offline functionality of base map and downloading offline maps too.
Yep. So we have all the offline map functionality. So you can download maps and then you'll have those available while you're offline. And you know, you can use all of the map layers and marking features that we have in the app. Some things you won't be able to do while you're offline. Like you have a location ranger that only works to have internet connectivity. You know, it's a great feature if you're somewhere with cell service. Although even that in the future is probably going to change. So that's one of the really neat things about some of the satellite connectivity that we're starting to see. We're working on getting access to a Starlink T-Mobile developer program where hopefully, you know, we'll be able to start sending data over those satellite connections. So you know, the days where we all had to have a Garmin inReach or a SpotX or, you know, some sort of satellite device will start to go away, and everything we can just do is on our cell phone. So you don't have to have that secondary device necessarily.
So that's down the road. Any projection as far as a timeline on that?
You know, the developer programs are open. So, I mean, I would expect next hunting season, maybe, if not the hunting season after that, for sure. I would think, you know, the ability, let's say, to do location sharing while you don't have normal cell signal, but you do, you know, as long as your device is satellite compatible, that's, you know, probably going to happen. So, which I know personally will help a lot with my wife when I go on some of my long hunts. You know, right now I have to have a secondary satellite device to be able to message her once a day, you know, so she knows I'm okay. And then so she can know that I'm where my location is. Now it'll be like, hey, just pull up base map and you'll see where I am.
That'll save some money on the inReach subscription costs as well as the device itself. Matt Habiger is the CEO of Base Map, and we were talking mapping and comparing Onyx to Base Map. I just recently upgraded to the Pro version, so cost of Base Map and the subscription levels that are available.
Yeah, our entry level subscription price is $39.99, and that covers all of your mapping functionality across all 50 states. So, you know, if you're looking at Onyx, they have like a one date subscription that's $35, I think. Our entry level is the entire U.S. for $39, and then from there you can go up to, we have what we call an Advantage program, which gives you all the base map features, and then we have a partnership with Global Rescue.
Yeah, I saw that map, man. If I can just jump in real quick, I'm familiar with Global Rescue, a former sponsor with the SCI radio show that I did, and for the additional features that you get with base map to upgrade to the Pro version, I think it is, Global Rescue is included in that subscription.
Yeah, so with Global Rescue, you know, if you do a lot of hunts that could potentially put you in a situation where, you know, you might need, let's say, medical help, or you might to be, you know, help
evacuated even.
You're far away from roads, you get stuck, whatever it might be. With Global Rescue, as long as you can message them, so, you know, could be through a text message, could be through a satellite messenger, as long as you can establish a connection with them, they will coordinate the rest, basically. They will help get you out, and then we also cover up to, I believe it's $5,000 of the rest cost. And so if there's cost associated with, you know, life flight, a portion of those.
Hey, Matt, would you mind repeating that? You dropped out right after life flight.
Okay, yeah. So life flight, and then it'll also cover a portion of the cost up to $5,000. Now, a lot of times, at least in the contiguous 48, you know, $5,000 will cover everything because many times there's not an actual cost if it's like a search and rescue, local social search and rescue team. But, you know, it's good insurance. insurance to have out there. So, and then obviously Global Rescue, like, this is what they do, right? They know who to call, who the appropriate agency is, and how to coordinate those activities to help get you out of, you know, potentially hazardous situation. So, great partnership that we have with them. And I don't think any of our users have had to use it yet, which is awesome.
Yeah, but a perfect example would be if you were out hunting somewhere in the middle of nowhere in Nevada and fell and broke a leg or got bit by a rattlesnake or something and you needed to get out of there and get to the closest hospital, that would be something that would be covered by Global Rescue, as long as you can message them.
Yep, you got it.
Yeah,
got it.
And that comes with a subscription.
Annual subscription.
Yeah, annual subscription. Yep. And occasionally, like I took advantage of the Labor Day special, are you going to do a couple of specials throughout the year? Because I got a suggestion for anybody that's just curious, and that is to download the free version right now and look at the maps and look how much clearer they are than Onyx. Throughout the year, a couple of specials perhaps?
Yeah. No, we definitely will. You know, we always run one around kind of that Cyber Monday, you know, Black Friday time period, which is a little late in the hunting season. A lot of people are already done with hunting, but we'll probably run one more in either September or early October.
I liked how you referred to the timeline of the year as in next hunting season or the hunting season after that. As Matt,
yeah, that's our view for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Matt Hoppiger, the CEO of Basemap, and again, it's one of those mapping tools. More features available right now on an Apple phone. You say Android is down the road, correct?
Just with 3D. Just with 3D mapping. Otherwise, everything that's available on iOS is available on Android.
Customer support in terms of how does somebody find out more about particular features or how to use a feature in Basemap?
Yeah, we've got a number of tutorials both on our website and out on YouTube. So we, you know, try to do video tutorials of everything. It's just, I think it's easier to have a video tutorial where it's actually a person walking through the app and showing how to do it than, you know, a bunch of screenshots and a long article. So those are on our website at basemap.com/support. And then also, if you ever need help with anything in the app, you know, you can message us at support@basemap.com. And then we've even got a link on the website if, you know, if you just feel like you aren't getting the help that you need, can literally just click a button and schedule a time with them.
Oh, cool.
We're trying to get better at customer service. We are a small team, but we realize that, you know, customer service in this area is something that consumers really, like good quality customer service where you can talk to a human being, is something that hunters appreciate. So our goal is to get better at that and to try to make sure that, you know, if somebody needs to talk to us, they can't get the help they need through the tutorials, you can reach out to us. So.
Mapping, land ownership access, offline maps, features specifically for hunters, and tracking, and we've gone over the cost and the support. So I'll put you on the spot. Why Basemap instead of, if somebody's making a choice between the two, why Basemap instead of Onyx?
Yeah, I will mention the one thing we haven't talked about is we also have hunt planning. Since you're in Nevada, you know, we've got draw information for Nevada as well as all the other Western states. That's another feature that we have. But, you know, why Basemap instead of Onyx? I mean, I think if you like apps that are easy to use and you're going to be spending more of your time hunting and less time messing around with your app, Basemap's the app.
And Matt, it rhymes. Basemap is the app. And again, full disclosure, I'm sold on it. I really like it. I used the free version for a year or so. I became aware of it through the SIG BDX app with the SIG Sauer Bino rangefinder combination. So that's my suggestion. Download the free version. Watch for a sale. Take advantage of that. Besides all the features, the simplicity, the better mapping, the better clarity to the maps and everything. With that pro advantage, I think that's about the mid-grade subscription package. The Global Rescue value-added feature is just a steal. It's a bargain.
Yep, I'm with you. I was sold on it. So.
That's why you became the CEO. Matt Hoppiger, CEO of Basemap. Check it out. Download the free version. Use it for a couple of months, and I think you'll see what I mean. The images are just so clear and crisp and easy to use. So there's my sales pitch for it. I really like it. I'll be out on a couple of more elk hunts before the year is over, and I'll be using it out there. Matt, I appreciate the time.
Hopefully you have a successful hunting season this year, and I'll be getting out this weekend. We've got an early archery buck season, so I'm going to go get some quality time in the woods.
All right, be right back with Dave Camilotto here on Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM News Talk. All right, joining us on Nevada Backcountry, a very, very special guest, a man of men, a man's man, a mythical figure, a legend among legends. I just read the script. Dave Camilotto. How's this feel to be a guest on the show that you host?
It's a little different, I have to say.
Well, I'll put you on the spot here.
Especially with that introduction. I mean, geez, I feel like I need to change my wardrobe.
There's a shirt. I've got it. The man, the myth, the legend. Dave Camilotto is the host of Nevada Backcountry. Last couple of weeks or so, Dave was out on a hunt that we did for Henry's tag for cow elk. And then Dave and Henry came home, rested for a week or so, then headed out on Dave's hunt. Dave's got one of those rare Eastern Nevada archery tags for a bull elk. And what are you going back with? What kind of attitude are you going back to the hunt with?
Well, first off, I mean, it was when we got out there, it was raining a little bit, and it rained for like the first 4 days on and off, from just a drizzle to a couple times pretty heavy. And but we still pushed through. We still hunted during the rain, and we noticed that all of the animals, cows, bulls, everything, were, even deer, were staying really tight into the trees. We were spotting legs and critters in the trees, and they just weren't coming out. And anyone out there that's an archery hunter knows trying to hunt in thick trees is just a really bad idea. But we did get on a few bulls. I got real close to one really nice heavy 5x. Just it was thick cover and just never provided me a good shot at 30 yards. So the first eight, nine days we were out there actually was really a great time. We got to pinpoint some good locations to focus on when we return, and noticed that on the last morning we were there, we had some bugling, some really light bugling going on. We saw several bulls kind of chasing cows and hanging out with some cows. And then I was fortunate enough to watch two bulls in this little drainage below me just going at it. I mean, it was really cool. The larger bull flipped the one bull onto its back in their little scrimmage and dragged them for a couple yards, and then they just started just chasing each other like two baby goats. It was pretty cool. So
the important thing, Dave, is that you're seeing a lot of elk.
Yeah, I mean, there were quite a bit of action going out there. We heard them primarily. We didn't really see a ton, but we heard them in the trees, and we did see small patches of cows. Talking to some other folks that were out there, they were seeing, you know, prior to the season opening, we're seeing a lot more animals. But again, it was raining, and it was the beauty was the weather was starting to really get chilly at night, like the low 40s. Daytime temps were in the 70s. But when we return here in a few days, we're going to head back for the last 8 days of the hunt, and the weather's showing that it's going to be like in the mid to lower 30s at night and sitting in the low 70s and 60s during the day. So we're hoping that is going to really get things ripping.
Yeah, they should be talking then.
Yes, for sure.
Now, Henry said you had an epiphany. At your age, you realize this may be one of the last tags that you get. And I know the mindset going out there was, I'll take anything that's legal. But when you've got this opportunity, especially in a unit that you've seen some really big bulls, that you may hold out for something bigger, because conceivably it could be your last tag. I heard you and Henry talking about a few weeks ago is, you know, you got to wait 7 years to put in. Well, yeah, you wait 7 years to be able to put in, but then it takes at least, or at least it has been in my case, at least 7 or more years to draw that tag. And again, I'll use myself as an example. I've been in Nevada for 22 years now, and I've drawn one bull tag with archery in Nevada. So you're going to hold out for something big.
Yeah, and especially now that we're hearing that they are starting to bugle and they're coming out of the trees and they're getting chased around, and the bulls are kind of getting getting real, you know, real froggy and real, they're just having a good time. And so, yeah, I'm probably going to hold out for the first at least 5 days on something really nice. Henry is a great caller, and so hopefully we can pull something in to my comfort zone. At least if they get within the comfort zone, it should be a done deal. Not to be cocky, but I think that can happen.
All right. What about for gearheads? What kind of bow, what kind of arrow, what kind of broadhead are you using?
So I am shooting an Elite bow, which I've taken several animals with. I shot my desert bighorn with it. It's been awesome for me. I am using the Full Metal Jacket, Easton Full Metal Jacket arrows, the 300 spine.
Mm-hmm. I've got some of those.
Well, or 340 spine. And then I've been just very dedicated to my Slick Trick Magnums. They're a 100 grain inch and 1/8 cutting diameter, four bladed, fixed blade Slick Tricks. Those have been my go-to for at least 10 or so years. They've just been, they fly great to, you know, 70, 80, 90 yards. They're just, they've been fantastic for me. So I just, you know, stick with what's working for me. You know, I know they've got all these new hybrids out there and all these new spring system broadheads, which all look really cool. But, you know, like I think is, if it ain't broke, don't, no reason to fix it.
Yeah. How many bulls have you taken? You heard about my lack of tags in Nevada as far as bull elk. How many have you taken in Nevada?
I've taken one. I've only taken one in Nevada back in 2008. And then this is my first tag since then, you know, because I, you know, waited the 7 years and then 8 more years. And then I drew this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So like when Henry and I were talking, it's like, well, if that pattern continues, because when I drew my first one, I had 8 points. So, you know, if that's the case, then I'll be in my early 70s, or 71, when I possibly draw my next bull tag. And yeah, so it's kind of like one of those things. Will I be able to crush those mountains like I am right now at 71? Maybe.
Sure.
Who knows? That's a lot of years. That's a lot of years ahead that, you know. So yeah, so it's one of those, I'm hoping to get a third tag someday, but, you know.
You never know.
And plus there's other states that we've been applying for, so hopefully some of those will pop up over the next few years.
I hope to be able to get out there with you for at least a few days on this hunt. I used to always just hunt by myself. So going out and helping other hunters on their hunt, you get to learn the unit, you get to help somebody out, and then down the road they may be helping you out. So I'm hoping I can come out there with you for at least a couple of days and see you take a big one. And also because of the last hunt and the situation we had with the bees around the camp and everything, I've developed something.
Yeah.
I created an LLC, called Peenan Enterprises. It's called the Peen Husker Protector. And by the way, just a note of precaution, if you're out there relieving yourself at a camp that may have some hornets and bees flying around, it is take your bino harness off so you can see what's going on down there. That's why they call them meat bees. And the good thing about that particular thing was we had a medical professional on the hunt with us as well who came up with the medical diagnosis of the issue, which was is called a russet potato syndrome.
that was hilarious for us, but probably not so much for you.
It was a bit of a painful experience, and the second one in my lifetime, which I find is like you, I think you mentioned, lightning does strike twice, and it has for me anyway. Dave.
Oh, most definitely.
Hey, well, listen, I hope I can get out there with you. I hope you can take a nice big elk and we'll get some pictures. And I know you and Henry will share it on the next episode of Nevada Backcountry. Thanks for being a guest on your own show.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And man, I really hope you do get out with us. We have a good time and we get to see some really great country. And it's just awesome out there. So yeah, please make sure get out there with us.
Dave Catalano, the co-host of Nevada Backcountry. Dave, good luck to you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.